Helping another, I don't need no script for from east of the river is Daniel F.
He wants to come out. Put this on. He wants to come out.
Is there any addict in here with a knife?
Yes,
sir. I know you want this song.
I knew somebody. I'm telling you. You have not.
Old man got one. Old man.
You know what I'm saying?
I knew that was coming.
That's a therapeutic value, one addict helping another. My name is Daniel, on my app. I just don't want to be confined to the podium. I just want to move a little bit. My clean date is March 4th, 1992. So I'm going in my 23rd year of recovery, right? I want to thank the committee, everybody, for having me today. Let's give my brother Naeem a love. You know, therapeutic value of one helping another. You know, therapeutic comes from the word therapy. That's what we in therapy. Therapeutic means when I look well, I just want to be well, you know, around it. It talks about the healing power. Do the research, check it, because I could be lying. Now I'm going to tell you how, because you can't find nobody better than an addict to help an addict. Am I right about it? Come on, y'all talk back to me, everybody. Am I right about it? Let me tell you about the first. You never know where your help is going to come from.
Yeah.
And the Most High God has a sense of humor. The first addict he that helped me was a homosexual.
Yeah.
Yes, and for now, VA program. I did not want that man. I didn't want him in my face. But he had the healing power. He asked me, I'm going to imitate him. Because it's in memory. He said, Daniel. He said, tell me about your life. I said, man. He need a lot of help. You all messed up. So what happened, I wound up telling him about my life. He said, well, Daniel, he asked me a question. And every addict needs to look at this question. He said, why don't you love yourself? It's the deepest form of insanity to have self-hatred. I didn't want this man to talk to me, but what he said to me went straight inside. 22 years later, I'm still talking about him. I'm not talking about John Johnson or the other guy. I'm talking about Bill Houston. I'm standing on his shoulders. That's what we do. Since I've been here, I have three sponsors that have been ordained by the Most High to help me. And Brother Jack was one.
Yes, sir.
I met him over there at the Anacostia Young People Club. And the old Anacostia group. Yes. Down in the basement, dirt floor. Yes. Brother Jack told me about his life. Told me that when he hit bottom, he was in a house and he was in the crawl space. It's one thing to be in a man of many, but a crawl space? Underneath of the house? Walking through alleys? And I listened to Brother Jack, how he gonna help me.
Right.
I've never been in an abandonment yet. What are you telling me this for? And I remember my marriage. You know, when you were addict, you tear up a marriage, is that right? Am I the only one? I remember I went to Brother Jack one day, I was down in the basement, and I told him, I said, yeah, me and my wife them separated. I think this is the big one. He said, well, that's good. I said, how's separation going to be good? You're supposed to tell me what to do to save this marriage. What step is that? He said, it's good because now you can work on yourself. How many of you know that song by Gladys Knight? Neither one of us want to be the first to say goodbye. But y'all people help me with all these different cliches. I don't know who come that game up with it, but they got a cliche to say when you stay in a relationship past the expiration date, therapeutic value. I'm sitting in therapy, getting that healed. The next sponsor I had was a brother by the name of Mr. Alfred. And I walked with Mr. Alfred, you know, they took me through the steps. I gotta say this, Brother Jack told me to go sit in the four-step study group. I stayed there for 2 years and never said a word. Some people can't believe that today.
No, I can't.
I sit there and never said a word. I listened. He's still in denial. See, that's a problem when you can't accept truth. He still don't believe. Some of us are constitution incapable. Being honest. It says in our literature that honesty is the antidote to our disease. Is that right? So if you can't get honest, you're going to stay sick. You don't know where your help is going to come from. I've listened, I've been in these therapy. Look, when I was in a small group, I remember in the VA hospital, and we had a small group, and I never forget I was in there. Y'all know the encounter group. Yeah. Yeah. Everybody know what I'm talking about, encounter? Yeah. I'm sitting in encounter, and I cut somebody out raw there. Yeah. Then Bill Houston told me to sit down. And he called me a sick. He said, you got sick. I won't say it so bad. You got sick in your mouth. Boy, I wanted to fight that man. But he got me in touch with reality. See, another form of insanity is when you want to escape from reality. Something wrong with you when you can't accept reality. And Mr. Alfred, you know, he helped me with something that I really, because I would come to him and I'd say this and that. And he said, Daniel, he said, why don't you leave Daniel alone? I leave me alone, I'll be all right. He said, ain't nobody bothering you but you. That's a wonderful therapy, isn't it not? And I got a sponsor, and he died. And I got a different sponsor now, Dwayne. He went through the steps, and I'm telling you, he's been a blessing, because he's real humble. And I'm the complete opposite. You know, I was raised in a housing project in Boston. My very first apprenticeship program was trying to be a gangster. Am I the only one? I went to class. I studied every day. You know, it started out with, first thing I had to learn was how to shoot crap. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I talk about 12 years old sitting on the front porch, and they had a crack game out there. Everybody, therapeutic value. They were addicts too. A lot of us addicted to a death style. We call it a lifestyle. But it's truly a death style. You know, that people taught me how to get a house, how to get a pound, bag it up. You know what I'm talking about. I went to school on an athletic scholarship in Missouri. Then I went to Southern Illinois, wanted to play professional basketball, didn't get in. Then what happened, I got back in the lifestyle. I could walk with this mic there. Honey, is that right? So I ain't getting in. What happened, I started hustling again. And do you know, within 2 years, I started manufacturing PCP. Spencyclidine. I didn't know it was spencyclidine until I was indicted and it came back from the lab. The United States government said spencyclidine. I was on trial with a lawyer. I was hustling with a lawyer, the therapeutic guy. Who better to hustle with? What happened? The Most High God had another plan. I got convicted. People gave me 20 years in 85. My first meeting came in a federal institution. I went to the meeting because I was, you know what I'm talking about, Zeke, I did the parole board. I want to be able to present myself at the board. And then people parole me. Once I got a Lewisburg, I command them. I'm not trying to do this here. There got to be another way. Is it all right? Because I was groomed for it. The project's prepared. I played ball. I went in the military. I was prepared. Because the disease will make a beast out of you. Can't be no quiet boy. Trying to sell on narcotics. How you going to do it today? How many would you like? You gonna pay me when? Okay, I'll look for you on time. That's not how it works. That's not. So when we come here, we need to change. They say change, you must have died, you will. I don't know where they got this language from. But that's a resurrection from a dead state of consciousness. Brother Jack will say that you would impregnate somebody with life. And I needed that life-saving information. Because after being released, you know, I went through the Court of Appeals, gave back 10 years of the sentence. I was home for 6 months. Do you know I was right back to hustling? Do you know that I did the 11th step? I perfected it in federal prison. Prayer, meditation. Get 20 years. I got that time. Go.
He said, I've been 40 years
You know that's 14,610 days. He said, that damn disease made my ass march. That man said that disease made him march for 40 years. I heard that and I said, that's what it needed to be. Some of y'all got 30, 20s, and 10s. And then he said this. He said, I'll never forget it. I had no idea at the time that what he shared was going to become embedded in memory. And then I was sitting here this morning talking about another act who's no longer here. And we just standing on his shoulders. He said the disease made a march on Mondays. And anybody here marched on Tuesdays? Said he marched on Wednesdays, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. He said the disease don't care about my little Sabbath. Said, everybody here had Sunday off. Disease, they went out to take rest. That man said he missed birthday parties, family reunion, weddings. Wasn't no PTA meetings. He made me reflect on how the disease robbed me of so many wonderful opportunities. All the things I missed out on because of this disease. He made me reflect, and I had no idea. And then he said something that was so powerful. He said that, you know, he got sick. And he told me the disease. He said, I got to go. I need to go to the doctor. The disease said, we ain't going to no doctor. We don't do hospitals. What you talking about? We got to go to you. He said he can barely breathe. Can you imagine? Said he made it to the hospital. He got in there, the doctors did the x-ray, checked them all out. They said, we got good news. Bad news. Say, you got pneumonia. He said, oh yeah. Say, but we're going to treat you. Got to lay you down for a couple of days. He said they gave him the medication, said he laid it down. The value of one helping another. He said he laid in the bed, and he said he was sitting there, and he dozed off, he was a little quiet. And then he said, next thing you know, the disease came and said to him, what did the doctor say? What did he say? And he said he talking to the disease. He really talking to himself. Because it comes in your very own voice. He said, what did the devil say? I got pneumonia. He said, pneumonia? What did they give me the medicine? Yeah, they gave me some. They say I need to rest. Stay here for a couple of days. He said, the disease said, listen. They ain't tell you everything. You got walking in the room. It's time for your ass to march. The power of that disease. And you left that hospital. That man helped me. I don't ever want to march again. I got so much help from Adams. I got a partnership with Adams. We work together. He teaching me AC work. I'm a licensed plumber. He licensed in AC work. Me and him been working together for about 5 years now. So I'm constantly around the Adams. We talk about different things. I've been knowing he went to the same program. And the Most High God put us together. He worried me sometimes because he got half power. He ain't got all power, he got half power. can never forget that. Get that dang old check, he know. I'm gonna tell you something else I saw that was beautiful this past weekend. Well, was it? I don't know, this weekend. But an addict died in D.C. Yes. And he had a sense of humor. He could have been a comic on a national level. He had a unique way of speaking. Daniel, where are you going with this? At the church, do you know that an addict did his funeral?
Yes, right.
Do you know that at the funeral, that his children say that they had no idea that their father had so many friends? Because of how we show up. When we let us love you until you learn how to love yourself. If you present that funeral, I remember Bruce had the same type of homecoming service, you know. The way they show up. You can't find who can help an addict better than an addict. I was at a meeting this week, and a sister lost her friend. And she's been relapsing back and forth for a protracted period of time. She just keep relapsing. The man done died. I don't know, because see, the Most High God know how to remove things out of your life. Right. And what happened, she shared. And then another sister shared. And she told that sister, she said, I done had two men to die. So I know how you feel. But you don't have to use. Even if you want to. Because I've been through it. Because we don't talk about our opinions. We don't deal with them. It's about your experiences. Is that right? So since I've been here, I've been sitting back, I've been listening. I was at a meeting one time, brother lost 8 members of his family.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. 8. And he was in a meeting.
Yes.
Talking about his feelings. Can you imagine? I've never been to a funeral where there was 8 caskets. How does that feel? There's no safe way to grieve. It's one thing to grieve one, but how about 8? Wife, children, grandchildren. But he did not use. And what they tell us, you got to put this information on the shelf. Because you don't know when your day is coming. But we'll never, ever, ever, ever be alone. I don't have to go through nothing by myself. Absolutely, positively, nothing. Because if I come to Raymond, he don't know, and Leon don't know, they know somebody that does know. So I'm this, it says there's a healing power here. I've been to many churches. That's one thing Brother Jack did, my first pastor. He was a member of Union Temple. And they used to bring through a lot of different ministers. But I'm going to tell you something. Out of all the churches I've been, I've never seen not one person resurrected from the dead. I ain't seen not one individual get out of a wheelchair and walk. Just walk! No offense, you don't look at, give me that kick. Y'all know how people pop off. You know them people. Smack your tiny head and say, walk! Just walk. Hit your head with the damn kick. Walk! Get up! Get up! Walk! I've never seen it. But I'll tell you what I have seen. I've seen individuals that knock out as anonymous. They come in here more dead than alive.
Come on.
And they're resurrected. You'll see them 5 years later, they walk in the door. Is that me? What happened? Blind man. can see. Deaf man can hear. A bowleg man is straightened up. I've seen it since I've been here. So there's healing power in here. And the Most High God can work through whoever he wants to. He's so clever, he don't tell you that he's going to use you. But every act has been put here to help another act. Just don't refuse to help someone when it's in your power to do so. I want to thank y'all for listening. I don't know if you got anything out of it, but thank y'all so much for having me.